Well, good morning, everybody. And let's, I'll talk quick because I sort of feel something's going on in the air here. But today, for the first time since 1977, this budget will be enacted before the start of the new biennium. And this is quite an accomplishment. In the face of the worst global and national economic conditions in generations, the Democratic majority in the legislature addressed the largest deficit in our state's history, $6.6 billion. And despite this challenge, they have finished this budget on time. Many other states are facing enormous difficulties to pass their own budgets, but I am very proud to say that here in Wisconsin, we got the job done. Like states all across the nation, Wisconsin's economy has been deeply affected by the reckless behavior on Wall Street and the national and global recession that has resulted. Last September, after the near total collapse of the financial industry, credit froze and consumer confidence plummeted. Now, at least 47 states, like Wisconsin, have experienced sharp declines in economic activity that have resulted in huge deficits in states all across the country. So the challenge before us was very clear, but it has also presented an opportunity for us to show who we are and to build an economy on a more solid footing. When I presented my budget in February, the budget deficit was forecast to be $5.7 billion. Like every other state in the country, our revenues fell sharply in April, and that widened the gap by another $1.6 billion, necessitating much deeper cuts to state government than I had already made beginning more than a year ago. That left us to solve a budget deficit of $6.6 billion, excluding the quick action already taken by the legislature in its February economic recovery and budget repair legislation. Like most places across the country, we faced much tougher circumstances and that demanded harder choices. I have always believed that the people of Wisconsin elected me to lead through good times and bad, to make responsible choices, and at the end of the day, to strengthen this great state. And that is what I have tried to do, especially in this time of economic uncertainty. All along, I have made clear my principles for meeting that uncertainty. First, the cuts. None of us, and I know I speak for the legislators who are here and who have been part of this as well, none of us have enjoyed making deep cuts, particularly during a time when people need the services the most. But just as Wisconsin's families and businesses cut back, so state government must cut back as well. When times are better, we can restore what is necessary, and we can make new investments to make our state stronger. These cuts are the largest ever in the history of our state, over $3 billion. They are painful. They frustrate me personally because we have been forced into this by national and international economic forces that were beyond the control of the people of Wisconsin. Under this budget, most state agencies will take deep cuts of 5 to 10%. There will be deep cuts to many programs and other expenditures of state government. And as even those cuts were not enough, so with very few exceptions, we have imposed across-the-board cuts of 1% on all state expenditures. I have rolled back the 2% state employee raises that were to go into effect this month. And I have signed an executive order requiring state employees to take 16 unpaid furlough days over the next 2 years. I have also directed state agencies to review all service contracts and to reduce personnel costs. These cuts will result in layoffs of over 1,000 state employees. and that number could grow significantly if the represented employees decide to keep the scheduled 2% pay raise. While we have cut more than $3 billion in state spending, our critics say that this budget increases spending. So let me be clear. The increased spending is the result of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, the stimulus package. I worked hard with Congressman Dave Obey, other members of our congressional delegation, and the administration of President Obama to make sure that Wisconsin is a true partner in America's recovery. And I am committed to seeing that our state gets all it needs to come out stronger. Those who make this allegation apparently would have us refuse stimulus dollars, as Republican leaders have been urging across the United States. But I believe, as I say, it is crucial for Wisconsin to get its fair share of that money and to invest it in ways that help us to build our economy. So when you hear the criticism that we increase spending during these difficult times, tell the people the truth, that we have cut spending in Wisconsin by 3%, and we have used our federal money to help get us through. And then ask those critics to state where they would send the federal funding and related jobs. Apparently, they would prefer it go to other states. Second, this budget holds the line on taxes. You know, if you go to the early commentary in the early part of this year, as people were looking at this budget, much of the commentary was that there was going to have to be a broad sales tax increase, or there were going to have to be income tax surcharges on all Wisconsin citizens, and that we were in for large increases in taxes. Well, I am proud to say that that did not happen. The budget I signed today, with the help of the Democratic legislative majorities, does not raise the sales tax and raises income taxes only on income over $300,000 in this state. We have protected the middle class taxpayers of Wisconsin during this difficult time. And I'm also proud to say that the bill that I sign here today does not include a gas tax increase. Now, let me say, I still believe that the big oil companies ought to be helping us out with the needs of this state. They profit enormously from the good roads that we have in Wisconsin, and I believe that the big oil companies should have to pay a share of helping for the construction and maintenance of those roads. But this bill includes no gas tax increase, and I'm going to continue to search for ways in which the gas company, the big oil company, should have to contribute without passing it on to taxpayers in Wisconsin. Third, this budget is about protecting priorities. In very difficult times, we have to decide what's most important. Education has always been my top priority. There is no better route to success for individuals and for us as a state than solid educational opportunities. Through the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, we will receive $877 million in federal stabilization funding that will allow us to avoid disastrous cuts for our schools. This will be a difficult time for schools across the state, and I want to thank the school superintendents, the school boards, and the teachers and other school personnel who are working with us to make sure that this budget will not affect basic education in Wisconsin. In fact, with the Recovery Act money, state and federal aid for schools will increase by $170 million over the next biennium. And school spending from state, federal, and local revenues will actually increase over the next 2 years by about $1 billion. While cities are also forced to make cuts, another major goal of mine was to ensure that we had funding for police and fire services to make sure that we protect our citizens, and we accomplished that. This budget also ensures that Wisconsin families have affordable access to health care and allows us to maintain our status as a model for the nation. And I will get into more specifics about this in a moment. I want to highlight some of the great things that we will be doing in this state over the next 2 years, despite the great economic challenges that we confront. First, Wisconsin is definitely open for business. Despite the challenges, I am very confident that we made the right investments and decisions to move toward an economy that is stronger than ever and built around the things we value: education, entrepreneurship, manufacturing, agriculture and science and technology that create good-paying, family-supporting jobs we need in this state, real things that we can count on to make life better. Acts 2 and 11 that I signed earlier this year, along with the provisions in this budget, will cut business taxes by over $130 million during the next 4 years through tax credits for research and development, job creation, and new business venture investments. To support new high-end business growth, we have tripled the amount of tax credits available to angel investors and early-stage seed funds. And these efforts work. In 2008, Wisconsin Angel Networks and Funds posted a 28% increase in early-stage investments, in contrast to the national average, which was down 26%. Wisconsin up 28%, the national average down 26%. Additionally, we are providing a tax exemption of up to $10 million for capital gains that are invested in new businesses right here in Wisconsin. We are investing in making Wisconsin a home for research and development. These efforts include providing a sales tax exemption on equipment purchased for research and development, and a tax credit to firms that significantly increase their research and development efforts in this state. One of our strongest economic resources continues to be our expertise in high-quality, high-end manufacturing. We must take these skills and our spirit of innovative thinking and apply them to the renewable energy industries that will move our state forward, will create more jobs, will make America energy independent, and will address the global climate crisis. Wisconsin has been working hard on a clean energy future, and fortunately, we now have strong allies in Washington. The American Recovery and Reinvestment Act allows us to move forward on several fronts, particularly in wind energy, vehicle technology, and advanced manufacturing. In the recovery bill I signed in February, I provided more than $2.6 million in grants to train workers in green industries. Geographically, Wisconsin has the advantage of being strategically located to supply the upper Midwest with wind turbine components. Fortunately, we also have the trained workers, experience, and infrastructure to take the lead in this emerging industry. To strengthen our agriculture and food processing industry, we created a tax credit for dairy cooperatives that make new capital investments to modernize their operations. Additionally, we created a grant program to support the development of large cheese plant operations. And finally, we provide a tax credit to our meat processors to support the modernization of that industry. In Wisconsin, our universities play a significant role in growing the economy. This budget includes $8 million to begin hiring scientists and researchers at the Wisconsin Institutes for Discovery, over $4 million to support renewable energy and related projects at 5 of our UW campuses, and $2 million to strengthen Wisconsin's role as a leader in personalized health care. It provides $240 million in bonding support to move forward the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee's research agenda. And we are seeing some indicators that we are pulling out of the worst of our challenges. We have actually seen over the last 2 months unemployment leveling off and dropping. We are adding jobs. People are beginning to have confidence again in the future. We are also continuing our commitment to Wisconsin businesses that will create jobs and lead to future growth. To support Wisconsin businesses, first we'll reward companies that create jobs and invest in upgrading the skills of their workers with a 10% job tax credit on their payroll. We will consolidate 5 existing economic development programs into 1, streamlining administrative issues and better focusing resources on supporting job creation and retention, worker training, and investment in new equipment. We gave our cities and counties the ability to plan better transportation systems and better ways to get people to work. Regional transit authorities are being created in communities across the state, which can be important tools in driving economic development and connecting people to jobs. And we have invested in our workers to give them the skills they need for rewarding careers, at the same time making sure our employers have workers with the right skills now and in the future. In this budget, we are also working hard for a healthier Wisconsin. In January 2007, I proposed a bold effort to make Wisconsin America's healthcare leader. It was a comprehensive strategy to reduce cost, improve quality, and expand access to affordable health coverage. I knew the time had come for the wealthiest nation in the world to provide affordable, comprehensive health insurance for its citizens, and I knew Wisconsin could lead the way. And Wisconsin is leading the way. The rest of the nation knows that. And President Obama was in Green Bay just a couple of weeks ago praising Wisconsin as he talked about the need for national reform. Badger Care Plus began with a simple premise. In Wisconsin, no child should go without health care. And since we launched Badger Care Plus in February of last year, we have enrolled 130,000 new individuals, 2/3 of whom were children. We are providing coverage to those who have often gone years without health insurance and moving forward on our goal of providing access to health care to 98% of all Wisconsin residents. We are making quality, affordable health care. We are making quality, affordable health care achievable for people who traditionally have not had options. Earlier this month, we expanded Badger Care Plus to include low-income working adults who don't have dependent children. Let me just indicate to you what the need is out there in this state and in this country. In the first week of making Badger Care Plus available for working low-income people, we have had 11,000 applications. Third, we are making sure that insurance companies do the right thing for children with autism and their families in Wisconsin. This should have been done a long time ago. Previous legislature, controlled by the other party, wouldn't allow this to come to a vote. But there are many families who have worked so hard on this issue. And let me just say, I have met so many families, and they are not Democrats or Republicans. Some are Democrats and some are Republicans, and some don't care. This is not a political issue. This is about whether families that have done the right thing, have gone out and gotten health insurance for their children and their families, find a child diagnosed with autism, and they're told by their insurer that they are not covered. These families have 2 choices. They can either pay out of their own pocket, and I have met families that are spending as much as $50,000 a year out of their own pocket, even though they have health insurance, or, because most families can't afford to do that, must sit and watch their child deteriorate until they can get publicly provided services. With this provision finally being signed into law today, families that have health insurance can get help for their children. And by doing so, we will sharply reduce the waiting list, meaning that families without health insurance will be able to get the help they need much more quickly. Like cancer, juvenile diabetes, and other childhood illnesses, autism takes an emotional and physical toll on the families it affects. And until recently, autism was considered a lifelong disability with a poor prognosis. Now, with early and appropriate treatment, children can see dramatic improvements. Let me just say, and I could say it on a lot of these issues, but on this issue, it shows elections matter. What happened in November meant that this bill was going to get moved, finally was going to move forward and get signed into law. And I thank the legislature and those that have voted for this budget for their action to make sure that these families finally get the help that they so badly need. In addition, I am proud that this budget ensures that health insurance companies better cover mental health treatment like they cover physical illnesses. And finally, even in these very difficult times, we are continuing to move forward here in Wisconsin to make sure that a college education is attainable. In this budget, again, despite very, very deep cuts that have had to be made in other parts of the budget, we are increasing financial aid by $20 million. We have also helped thousands of young people see that college is within its reach if they are willing to work hard through the Wisconsin Covenant program. More than 35,000 students now, representing all 72 counties, have committed to following the path we set for them to college. And the first of those classes will now be going into their junior year. The budget I am signing ensures that we are prepared for when the first class of Covenant Scholars graduates in 2011 with $25 million annually of financial aid available for those students. And with the help of the leaders of our university system and President Risley, Chancellor Martin, other chancellors that are here have worked closely on this. And in this budget, we are making sure that Wisconsin families earning less than $60,000 with their son or daughter attending a UW campus, even in these difficult economic times, will be held harmless for tuition increases through a new grant program. Throughout this process, I have believed that the choices that we make today will reveal clearly who we are and what we value. I knew that if we came together, if we worked hard and made the right choices, we could pass a budget that protected priorities like education, health care, and public safety. I knew we could avoid irreparable harm to our services and our people by making sure we made responsible cuts that took the path of least destruction. I knew we could still invest in our future to strengthen Wisconsin for generations to come. There were many who doubted that, and there were many over the last few months that have stood up and criticized various things we have done. But to some of those who have criticized, I asked them, have you given us one idea on how we make sure we can strengthen our schools during this difficult time? Have you given us one idea on how we can make sure that our kids can afford higher education in this state? Have you given us one idea on how we can make sure that we continue to have health care affordable and accessible for people of Wisconsin? It is easy at a time like this to sit on the sidelines and criticize everything. But for those of us who are in this position and have to make the decisions, we have to make them. And I want to thank the members of the Wisconsin legislature and the leaders who have worked so hard, the members of the Joint Committee on Finance, the leaders of both houses, and the members who have voted for these budget. They have been members who have shown courage in difficult times, that they have stepped up and that they have done the right thing for Wisconsin. We are seeing around the country now stories of other states that are really having a difficult time reaching budget resolution in these hard times. And I can understand why that is, because the decisions that you have to make are difficult in the end, but you have to make them. And our legislature did stand up, and they did make them, and they made them in a timely fashion. And so I'm about to sit down and sign this budget, which, as I will repeat from the beginning, will be the first time in 32 years, and Fred Risser reminded me that he was there when it happened last time. But this will be the first time in 32 years that the budget will be signed on time. So thank you, everyone, and on Wisconsin. Thank you.